Behold! A fiendish masterpiece!
This is Picking with the Pickers. For years, every Friday morning during football season, you've heard legends pick their picks.
Vince Gill.
Steve Crop Killer B.
Tanya Tucker.
Rob Schneider.
Dave Mason.
Arsenio Hall.
Charlie Daniel.
It's time to pick the brains of the picker as they tell their tales and pick their picks.
Picking with the Pickers is presented by
Landmark Bank, Pickers Vodka, and Tallboy Marketing. And now, here are the hosts of Picking with the Pickers, Greg Pogue and John Burton.
No Greg Pogue, just me and Crazy Charlie as we do Picking with the Pickers, hour number two of the Greg Pogue and John Burton show, Nashville Sports Radio. And it is Friday. It is a tradition. It is what we like to do. It is Picking with the Pickers, sponsored by Landmark Bank, Pickers Vodka, and Tall Boy Marketing, and our special guest that's going to hang with us for a little while. He is friend of show. I love running down his resume, Charlie. Valedictorian of his high school class. All-American football player at Florida State. National champion at Florida State. Super Bowl champion with the Pittsburgh Steelers. Pro Bowler with the Tennessee Titans. Author, husband, father, the great Chris Hope joins us. C. Hope, what's good, man? Welcome back.
What's going on, my friend?
Oh.
All I need was a smoke, bro. I need the smoke and the fire now. I'm about to run out.
I'm telling you, man, your resume is as long as your arm. You are one of the most accomplished individuals I know. How you been? It's been a while. Long time no talk.
I can't complain, man. I'm blessed. I've enjoyed this quarantine. Not in the wrong way.
Right.
So don't take that out of context. But I've had an opportunity to get some rest. Spend some very intimate time with my kids and my wife, and just really sit back and enjoy the small things in life that we sometimes take for granted.
Oh, no question about it. Well, this is a perfect week to have you on because it's Steelers-Titans week. You're a former Steeler and a former Titan, and you got strong ties to both teams, both organizations. You've had a lot of success with both organizations. For a guy like you that played for both teams, knowing what a big game this is, 5-0 versus 5-0, what have your emotions been like this week?
So, I knew you would ask that question for some reason. and unlike many people besides myself, yourself, and Nate Washington that I can just think of off the top of my head, we've had the opportunity to be a part of both organizations and have strong ties with both organizations and be a part of both organizations when they've been successful. So, we haven't had, you know, negative experiences with either team or either ball club. So it makes us a little emotional about both, if I could say that. You know, when I think about my relationship with both teams, I kind of explain it like this. You know, the Steelers would be that I would be their bride. Because they chose me.
Right.
You know, as a kid, I dreamed of playing in the National Football League, making it to the pros. I didn't quite understand the dynamics of how it all worked. You know, as a kid, you cheer and want to play for the team that you love watching, and that was the 49ers for me. But you don't quite understand how it all works until you're in it. And 32 teams, the Steelers chose me. They gave me the opportunity to fulfill my childhood dream. No different than a female young girl playing with Barbies, dreaming about one day getting asked to be married. So that love and affection that I have for the Steelers is amazing. And it's kind of unmeasurable and unfair to compare it to the Titans because they chose me. But right. Then when I think about my affection for the Titans, because I chose them, you know, just like I chose to play at Florida State, I could have went other places, but I chose to play for the Tennessee Titans. And that was because their organization, their coaching staff, the city, it mirrored that of the Pittsburgh Steelers. So I saw a lot of similarities. You know, they say you marry the female that's similar to your mom. So that's the relationship and the love I have for the Tennessee Titans. But when they come together and play, it's a very, very tough decision of what side I'm on. But I will say the easy part of it is I'll still be undefeated after Sunday's game.
Well, coming up, we're
going to
put...
That's all I can say.
coming up, Chris, we are going to put you on the spot. We are going to have you pick this game, but we'll get to that down the road. Listen, you played for Bill Cowher, and you played for Jeff Fisher, and, you know, I think a reason why those two didn't get along is because they're very much alike.
Absolutely.
When you look at Mike Vrabel, I think Mike Vrabel and Mike Tomlin are alike in a lot of ways. You know, I know you didn't play for either guy, but what do you see from those two individual coaches? Because I look at it in terms of no nonsense, no excuses, no stone unturned. You're expected to play hard. You're expected to play physical. You know, Vrabel always talks about effort and finish. Tomlin always talks about the standard is the standard. And two big reasons why these two coaches have been very successful in their careers, no?
Absolutely. I think, you know, both of them are former players. I don't know if Tomlin actually played in the NFL, but I know he played at a high level in college.
Mm-hmm.
And then he had an opportunity to go under the great leadership of Tony Dungy in Tampa Bay and all the great coaches on that staff. And he was around so many talented pro Hall of Fame players. So he knows the game inside out. And then to have the fortune of going to an organization that was already running like a well-oiled machine in the Pittsburgh Steelers, and he's exactly right when he says the standard is the standard. I don't care what year it is. You know, you have to blame those guys from way back in the 70s for setting that standard, but still the football is still the football. And then when you compare him to Coach Vrabel, I mean, now he has a resume as well, and he has the fortune of being a part of two amazing organizations, the Pittsburgh Steelers first, then the New England Patriots.
Right.
It lives and dies by the standard as well. So he's programmed, and he's a former player, so he's programmed with three of the richest traditions in the game, now being a Tennessee Titan. So he has that same mentality of the Steelers as the standard is the standard, aligned and upgraded with the Bill Belichick standard. So anything that he touches is going to be pretty much successful if you buy into what he's selling. So those coaches are I think both of them are players' coaches. You know, they get involved. They are fun. They're interactive with their players. They listen to their players. They work hard. They push you hard. They challenge you, but they never ask you to do something that they haven't already done that they're willing to do, and I think that's what makes people buy into it. And I think this is going to be a very, very physical ball game, as we all know.
Yeah.
I think the team that makes the least amount of mistakes, and, you know, that's cliche, but I think this will really hold true in this team, in this game, because the matchup is pretty even. Both of them are playing comparable football. The offense balancing out the defense. Special teams are both consistent. I think it's going to be a good game to watch.
Yeah, we're definitely looking forward to it. We're talking with Chris Hope, former Steeler, former Titan on Steelers Titans Week. Titans host the Steelers, obviously, Sunday, 12 noon. You can watch it on News Channel 5. Chris, I wanted to ask you about this. Today's player as compared to when you played. Now, you were always known as being a disciplined guy, whether it was keeping yourself in shape or just learning the defense or being a good teammate or being a stand-up guy in the locker room. You know, you and I have talked before about how you've had to leave whatever's going on outside of football at the door once you walk in the door, either for practice or you go to the stadium for a game. I look at guys like Antonio Brown. I look at guys like Odell Beckham Jr., super talented guys, but, man, they seem to just get off track mentally so easily when things don't go their way. And I remember talking to Delanie Walker last year before he got hurt and got lost for the season, and after they started 1-2, and he said something really interesting. He said, you know, when I first got in the league, you start a season 1-2, you know, you're fighting in the locker room. We're having team-only meetings. He said, nowadays, you can't say anything about another player because they're going to want to fight you or they're going to want to ask to be traded. I mean, it doesn't seem that long ago, but, man, the mentality of today's NFL player as opposed to when you play, it's changed a little bit, hasn't it?
I think it starts from the grassroots level. And, you know, you and I have talked off air about this for a long time. I think it's just the way that parents raise their children, with a sense of entitlement, a sense of understanding, a sense of being heard. And when we grew up, we didn't have that privilege. Not to say either one is right or wrong, but it was You know, my dad was my way or the highway. My coaches were consistent with that. They were always no-nonsense type coaches back in those days. And they pushed you. They didn't accommodate you. They didn't change what they were doing to make it fit you. And I think it made players during my era appreciate the game for one, respect the game and respect those that came before us. And we never got caught up into what we were doing more than what it was about. You know, I think we all went into it with the attitude and mindset of what can I give back to the game and not what can the game give me. And I think today's athletes, with so many distractions from social media to trying to create their brand, trying to create off-the-field opportunities, so many of those things have just become made it a me league, and yeah. It's all about me. And I think that causes so much distraction in the kids' overall focus, because if you keep the main thing, and I always tell younger kids, if you chase the football or you chase the basketball or you chase all those things that you love about the game that you play, everything else that you're trying to chase will start chasing you. You know, you think about Michael Jordan. He played basketball. Nike came and found him, and now he's the face of the world. He didn't chase those things. Social media wasn't out during his era. He just played basketball, played really, really great basketball, and everything came towards him. Where today, I think we want to play, make a splash in our sport or in our job, and then we think everything else we're supposed to chase after that. So,
right.
You know, I score a touchdown on Sunday. I get the news. I get the camera in my face. I'm doing an interview. So now I got to promote myself to the rest of the world for the opportunities to come, instead of just continuing to score touchdowns.
Right.
And those cameras are going to continue to come in your face. So I think the perspective and the sense of entitlement has really caused a distraction for some athletes.
Could you play, you know, knowing how you were as a player, could you play with guys like that? You know, how they are today?
I struggle with it, but at the same time, I know that I'm the type of leader that wasn't a guy that jumped in your face and, you know, choked you. And, you know, I wasn't a Michael Jordan or Kobe Bryant,
right,
so to speak. You know, those guys were no nonsense, and they didn't care if you didn't like them. Now, mm-hmm. I didn't mind if you didn't like me, but it just wasn't my personality to go and grab you by the jersey and you know, spit in your face and talk bad to you. That just wasn't my type of leadership. So I could say I would play today, but I would just, it would be really tough for me mentally and draining for me to continue to show a person the way and for coaches or for people within the building to continue to pacify and support whatever bad habits they have. That's where I think a lot of the older players kind of phase themselves out, because, as you said, you know, with Delanie Walker, you know, I can think about conversations I've had with Keith Bullock.
Sure.
You know, when we came in the league, we had to absolutely earn everything.
Yep.
I mean, we had to earn the right to run down on the kickoff because it wasn't given to you. You know, just yeah. And I know a lot has to do with the money that you're invested in the minute you get drafted now. You know, they give you so much money. So it's almost like they have to put you out there. But that didn't matter. Playing for the Pittsburgh Steelers, Troy Polamalu and I, we were younger, faster, more explosive than veterans like Brent Alexander and Mike Logan and, mm-hmm. and Lee Flowers. But we had to earn it. We was not given it just because we were flashy, just because Troy was a high draft pick, just because we were the future. We had to earn it. And those guys made us get it, take it from them. And I think that made us appreciate it more when we had our opportunity to start. We didn't take it for granted.
Right.
And I think it made us more of a professional, where now, you know, you get drafted first round, and I'm not saying it didn't happen back then, but you get drafted first, second round, and they already have this allotted money for you. You know, today's mindset of owners and coaches is to get younger, so they automatically just move a guy out the way. You know, you think about the Dolphin quarterback. He's not, in my opinion, he's not ready. And I wouldn't play him right now because it's not like the Dolphins are going to win the Super Bowl tomorrow.
Right.
So it's like, what makes you just throw him out there to the Wolves like that? What is the purpose of that?
Well, you know you know where that comes from, Chris. I mean, come on, you know better than I do. It's the owner talking to the GM, talking to the head coach, saying, "Hey, you know, it's time. Let's get this kid in here. I need to sell some tickets. You know, Ryan Fitzpatrick. You know, he's won a couple games for us, but he's not moving the needle. We know, get two in there because." You know this. The owner is looking at what Burrow is doing. Even though they're not winning Cincinnati, he's playing well. And Justin Herbert is playing well for the Chargers. There's buzz about these guys. The Dolphins owner wants that buzz, and he wants his guy in there, right?
So again, you look back over the career of top draft picks like that.
Yep.
Okay, how many of them have went on to sustain a long, productive career versus how many have lost their confidence, been a walking hospital by year four.
yep.
I mean, you think about the guys we had, Jay Locker, and all the quarterbacks that we were forced to throw because we didn't have anyone. That not disrespecting anybody on the team at the time,
sure,
but
sure.
You know, it's different than, you know, going to the Cincinnati Bengals and you have no quarterback, so you have to put them out there versus you know, Big Ben having a chance to play behind Maddox for a few games or four years.
A game and a half, actually, as it turned out.
Aaron Rodgers.
Yep.
You know, look how long of an investment. Look how much money you've gotten on that investment.
Eli Manning had a half a season playing behind Kurt Warner before he became the starter. You're right. You're right. For every Ben Roethlisberger and Eli Manning, there's a David Carr, there's a Achilles Smith, there's a Jake Locker.
You just keep naming them.
Yeah.
Ryan Lee. Throwing them out there too early.
Yeah.
I mean, the whole franchise of quarterbacks in Cleveland Browns.
And now Baker's struggling, right?
That's 30 quarterbacks right there.
Yep. Yeah, you're right. We're talking with Chris Hope, former Steeler and former Titan and a national champion at Florida State. You know, I was covering you guys in 2005. I know we've talked about it a million times. You and I co-hosted the Joey Porter Show together. Had such a great time that year. That was so much fun. What do you remember about that 2005 season? I mean, do you still look back on it? And where are you keeping the Super Bowl ring these days, my man?
So I just celebrated my 40th birthday, and my wife threw me a surprise Zoom birthday party. Which
nice. Happy belated, absolutely. By the way. You made it.
Thank you, sir. Thank you, sir. I had no idea what it would be like, but...
Wait a minute, you're not 40. You still look like you're 28. You're rocked, you're chiseled, you got that big smile on your face. You're 40? Wow.
You know, I just have to go by what the doctors told me when they made that blueprint.
I'm the same way, bro. I just turned 50 back in June. I still can't believe it.
Oh, man. Congratulations to you, brother.
Appreciate it.
So I was surprised by this Zoom party, and when I started kind of figuring out how it all worked and how it all operated, I saw so many of my teammates, Ike, Joey Porter, Troy Polamalu, James Ferrier, Brian McFadden, Tyrone, Florida State guys and Seminole guys, and a bunch of my Titans friends as well. So it was almost like we jumped right back to where we left off. And I think that describes the brotherhood and the camaraderie and the love we have for each other. We all have grown a little older. Some of us have lost hair and gained weight. And
got a little gray in your beard, right?
A little gray in the beard. We got kids. But, man, the love that we had was so authentic and genuine that without talking to each other for weeks or for, you know, some even years, some months, we go right back to where it was almost like it was training camp all over again. Hmm. And you was a part of the lot of fun that we had in 2005.
It was amazing.
And it was truly a brotherhood. It's still to this day, and I can't understand how a team full of so many dynamic players and superstars and egos from all different parts of the country, raised differently, could buy in and truly become a brotherhood. Unreal to me. Like, that season, that organization, and playing with those guys were unreal. And I tried to bring that to the Tennessee Titans. And I've created those same kind of bonds and relationships with many of the guys that I played here.
Mm-hmm.
But thinking about 2005, man, it was a dream come true. But it was bittersweet for me because I didn't have a chance to really live in and enjoy the spoils of being a Super Bowl champion because I was, you know, became a Titan the next year.
Right.
And as far as my Super Bowl ring, I have it in a in a lockbox, and it's something that I haven't wore, but that one time when we had the celebration back in 2005 after the winning the Super Bowl, I always dreamed of getting another one. Came close a few times, so I bring it out maybe once or twice to show my kids, but other than that, it's still in a safe space.
Wow. Well, I thought you guys in 2008 were going to have a shot at a Super Bowl with the Titans. Great season that year. Came up a little short in the divisional playoff. I know it's not a memory you look fondly back on, but, you know, just a great career for you, college and the pros, and now an author. We're going to talk about that in a little bit. But it is time to pick some football games. Chris Hope, are you ready?
I'm going to try to be.
All right. Charlie, are you ready?
No.
Okay. Very good. As usual. All right, let's start with college football. Tomorrow, 2:30 on News Channel 5, Alabama -21.5 at the Tennessee Vols. Vols have struggled. They've lost two in a row, seven turnovers in their last six quarters. We'll go with C. Hope. What are you thinking about this game?
Are you asking me if Bama's going to win?
Yeah, we're picking against the spread here. So we're all assuming Alabama's going to win. I guess we need to know, do you think they'll cover the 21.5, or can Tennessee keep it close?
No. I'd say Bama will win by 21.
All right, so you're taking Alabama and the points.
Absolutely.
All right, over to Crazy Charlie.
Where they playing at? In Alabama or Tennessee?
It's in Tennessee, but I don't think it's going to matter.
I mean, yeah, it's a home field either way. That's what I was trying to get to.
Yeah. Yeah, it's at Tennessee.
Just to try to score a point here, because, I mean, I think we're all in consensus on who's going to win. I'm going to go with the cover. I'm still picking Bama, but I'm going to pick the Vols to cover just to try to score a point against you guys.
All right. Well, I'm taking Alabama and the points. This has got 42-10 written all over it. I think Tennessee's got major problems. Their offensive line is struggled. We thought it was a strength. They're turning the ball over at a record rate. Pruitt has no idea what to do with his quarterback. I'm guessing Garantano's going to start, but I don't know if he's going to finish the game. Give me Alabama and the points. Game number two, Middle Tennessee State in Texas at Rice. The Owls -3.5. Crazy Charlie.
I'm going to have to go with the Fighting Stockstills from the Borough, and I'm going to have to pick the MTSU Blue Raiders. Something's got to break for those guys, man. Just the worst luck possible on the field this year. And since we do have Chris Hope here, we have the Florida State connections, the Rick Stockstill. Yep. I'm going to follow that train all the way to a victory for the Blue Raiders.
That's right. Coach Stockstill played for Bobby Bowden, as did you at Florida State, Chris. What say you about this game?
I'm going to go with the Blue Raiders as well. Home team, home state team. I love Coach Stockdale. They have a few guys on the team that are from South Carolina. I'm going to go with the Blue Raiders on the upset. This is going to be an upset, right?
Yeah, because Rice is favored by 3.5. I am going to go ahead. What were you going to say?
That's it.
Okay. All right. There you go. I am going to go with the Owls. I just think Middle Tennessee is struggling big time on defense. And I think Rice is going to win and cover the spread. I certainly hope I'm wrong. Game number three, Chris. We've got the Big Ten back in action this weekend. Ohio State, everybody's picked to come out of the Big Ten, obviously. People think they're going to run the table. Arguably one of the best teams in the country. They're taking on Nebraska. And it's Ohio State -26 against the Cornhuskers. What say you, Super Bowl champ?
I would say that's the go. I'm taking Ohio State and the points.
Ohio State and the points. Over to Crazy Charlie.
This is one where I'm just going to go right with C-Hope on this one. Give me all the points. Ohio State's unstoppable. They know what they need to do to make sure that they're in the national picture after one game, and there's no doubt that they'll be in the top four after 1 week. They're going to get the style points, all the points. This is going to be a beatdown.
We are all in agreement here. I agree with everything you said, Crazy Charlie. Ohio State, they're late to the party. They have to not only win, but win impressively. Fields has to pad the stats because he's going for the Heisman this year. They have to let the committee know, the football playoff committee know that, hey, we're back. We're a player in this. And I think Coach Day is going to pretend that Nebraska is Michigan, and they're going to run it up against the Cornhuskers.
I think it's a sorry second, third string in the rest of the depth. We're keeping the starters in no matter what the score is, and they're going to roll this thing
up. Yeah, you can't stop us. Not our problem. Mm-hmm. We've got work to do beyond this. Give me Ohio State and the points. And last but not least, from the National Football League. A battle of Chris Hope's former teams, the Pittsburgh Steelers at the Tennessee Titans. Charlie, this line has moved. It is now Tennessee minus a point against the Pittsburgh Steelers. 12 noon at Nissan Stadium. You have the first pick, Mr. Sanye.
This is a tough one because everybody knows I want what's best for business. That means I want the Titans to win. I mean, you know, I want to come in Monday. I want to have fun. I want to take calls, and I want to talk about a big Titans win over the Pittsburgh Steelers. But I'm trying to play a game here, and I'm trying to win, and I'm trying to defend Greg Polk's spot in the standings. So give me the Steelers.
Chris, we'll get to you in a second because I want you to have the last word on this, but I, that's what Valenti does when he does his Who Am I segment. Listen, for the Titans, you know, the Titans are 5-0 and that's great, but four of those five wins have been walk in the wire situations where they've had to been bailed out because of poor defense, because of lapses on offense late in games. The only rocking chair win was against the Buffalo Bills on a Tuesday night in unusual circumstances. No Taylor Lewan. We don't know if A.J. Brown's going to be available. We'll find out more today. Didn't practice yesterday. Jonnu Smith will play, but he's banged up. And I understand the Steelers are missing Devin Bush, but they still have a lot of studs there on that defense. Offensively, the Titans have struggled on third down, getting off the field. They've gotten a little bit better in the run game, but they've struggled there. They haven't had much of a pass rush. I hate to say it, but I think the Pittsburgh Steelers are going to win this game. So give me the Steelers to obviously cover and win the game outright. Close game, exciting game, but I think the Steelers get out of here with a win, probably by a field goal. All right, last but not least, the former Super Bowl champion with the Pittsburgh Steelers, the former Pro Bowler with the Tennessee Titans, the great Chris Hope. What say you? Steelers, Titans.
You gave me a lot of information that I didn't know at the time with all the injuries. Well, as I said earlier in the show, I'm going to be undefeated come Sunday regardless. I think it's going to be a hard-fought game. I think the Steelers are going to come in and try to take away the running game and make Tannehill beat them.
Yep.
Which is a strength of the Pittsburgh Steelers, the secondary, led by Minkah Fitzpatrick. I think it's going to be, before you told me all that information, I was leaning towards the home team, being that the Titans are on the roll, and I know Coach Vrabel will do a great job of expressing how important home field advantage is later on in the season and protecting the home, which I gave the edge to the Titans for that. But playing with a veteran quarterback and a standard is the standard type mentality that the Steelers have, home field really doesn't have the advantage that it has had back in the day, especially with no fans being at the game. So I'm a toss up. It's going to be a close game.
Chris Hope, I need an answer.
I'm going with the Titans.
You're going with the Titans.
Yeah, I'm going to go with the Titans.
Okay. Good job by you, buddy. I know you're struggling, man. I know it's a mental tug of war with you right now. But, Chris, while we have you on, man, tell us about your book and how people can get it.
So you can go to my website, prosbychrishope.com, and get this book that I wrote from my heart. It is called Pros, Parents Align on Their Seeds, The Winning Game Plan for Healthy Boundaries Between Parents and Children. It is not just for those that have children, but it is a book that sheds light and is a game plan for all the most important relationships that we have in our lives, which are family, friends, business partners, whatever the case may be. It's all about managing the expectations that people may place on you and trying to find and fulfill your purpose in life and doing it with peace, you know, to have a successful life or successful career and not have, you know, joy and peace to celebrate it and to live it and celebrate it with those that you love the most. It's probably the biggest failure in life. I think the book does a great job of allowing you into my space, hearing some of my stories, hearing some of my experiences, but at the same time giving you practical tools and things that you can learn and use to help you avoid the potholes in life that I went through.
Chris, you know we love having you on the show. I think the world of you as both an athlete and a human being. You're one of the best. Thanks so much for doing this, bro. And Once this coronavirus stuff gets past, we need to get together and break some bread, my man.
Absolutely, man. Thanks for having me. Anytime.
All right. There he goes. The great Chris Hope, Steeler, former Steeler, former Titan. And he's picking the Titans. I don't know if that's where his heart is, but we'll see. All right. We are way late for a break. We'll get to that. Your phone call, 615-844-5600. Coming up in just a few minutes, Impact Wrestling superstar Quinn Ojinaka, better known as Moose, will call in.